On this edition of Our Town, we're going to take a look at one of the things that has been in the news so much in the city's mind and in the county's mind even out here well is the housing issue. And we have two gentlemen from Homes for Good joining me today. We have Jacob Fox, who is the executive director, and Steve Oakes, who is the real estate development director. Did I say the name right?
Correct, yes.
Hey, I got it. Good. First of all, tell me a little bit about Homes for Good. Give me some background on that.
Sure. So Homes for Good's been serving Lane County since 1949. We're defined by Oregon law as a public housing authority. But what sets us apart from other housing authorities is we do a lot of work engaged with people experiencing homelessness, domestic violence. So that's kind of a specialty or heart of ours. And we also are an active real estate developer, so we build a lot of housing, and other housing authorities in Oregon and across the nation just don't have those kind of specialized focuses.
Now, we do have some of those, you know, domestic violence and homelessness issues here, but we also have the affordable housing issue for, you know, people that want to live and work here that may not be able to have a $50,000 or $60,000 a year job. And I guess the idea in the name Homes for Good kind of brings out the idea that you want to help as many people as you can. What about the working force? I mean, they're included in that as well?
Certainly. So we serve a wide variety of folks that need an affordable home, including we have some home ownership options or programs as well. So the way I think about the people we serve is there's kind of two categories, right? There's seniors and people with disabilities that may need a home from us for their entire lives. And then there's families who might be, you know, increasing their education, working their way up at their, you know, their job. And for those families, we want them to use our housing to better their lives and graduate out of our housing so that other people can access it.
Is the game plan a little bit different for a community like Florence than, say, maybe in the Eugene, Springfield area?
Certainly. I think that's why we've really leaned in and had a community meeting that over 50 people attended here. All the city councilors and the mayor attended, so we were super thankful for that. So we don't come into rural communities and use the same template that we would in the Eugene Springfield area. We really listen to the community and develop housing that meets the needs of the specific community.
Now, just real quickly, tell me the properties that are already here in Florence.
Yep. So we have three different properties here, Munsell Park, New Winds, and Laurelwood.
Okay. Now, Steve Oakes is the real estate development director. Now, Steve, tell me a little bit about the Quince Street project per se. Number one, how did you come about the property? How did that all come about?
Sure. Yes. So the Quince Street property, as people know, and as we've engaged more with the community, everybody knows it as the old ball field. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been vacant for a while, and through our realtor, we heard about it, and we have been looking in Florence for a long time for property to provide affordable housing on. Our board chair, in fact, Char, she lives here in Florence, and so is very, you know, very in tune with the needs of affordable housing in here in Florence. And I also was able to serve on the housing implementation plan committee, and you know, and it's just everybody we talked to says, you know, there's just a need for housing in Florence that's really probably as much or more than anywhere in Lane County, just because of the coastal community dynamic that you have here with Airbnbs and things like that. It's just really hard for folks to find housing here in Florence. So,
now this property has been kind of in and out of the development, you know, purview for quite some time. What makes this kind of a special thing for Homes for Good as far as moving forward on that?
Yes, it's a very special property to us. For one, you know, one of the things we look at is location of, like, when we build housing, is it a place that families, seniors can get to grocery, which Safeway's right there? Can they get to other services? There's so many services along 101. There's Old Town's right there. You can see the beautiful Siuslaw River from it. It's really a unique property, and we were just very excited that it kind of all came together that we were able to purchase it and hopefully build some affordable housing there. So.
And of course, even with that, in the Old Town area, there's a lot of work too available for people. So it's within a walking distance if they, you know, have car problems or trouble with that.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Talk a little bit about the development. You have a plan for the amount of spaces, the amount of available apartments for that. Is it going to be an apartment style?
It will be an apartment style. And, you know, one of the key factors also is that it is in the zoning for it's an old town zoning. So it will require us to go through a design review to make sure that it kind of got the characteristics the city wants. It's kind of the gateway to Old Town. And it will be an apartment complex. And what we're doing is looked at it a few ways. We looked at, like, what's the maximum amount we could build on this site, knowing the need for housing. And then we kind of looked at, well, you want parking, you want open space, you want playgrounds, you want community room, and it kind of brought us into the number where we ended up at was right at 86 units. And then we held several meetings with community partners such as Cellusal Outreach Services and others, and kind of asked, you know, what number of bedrooms do we need? And that kind of drove us to the mix that we ended up with, which we heard, you know, there's definitely going to be seniors that need it. So we have a number of one bedrooms and then families. And so we have both 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units, mostly 2 bedroom followed by 1 bedroom and then
a scattering of 3 bedrooms.
Yeah. So.
So you mentioned the design review you have to go through. I'm sure the facade will take on, like you said, the look of what the Florence community kind of looks like in that area there. Is there a particular increase in cost to have to do something based on a design, or is it in the planning, if you get it right, it doesn't cost any more to, say, make a better facade or a different facade than others?
Yeah, I would say in this case, it won't add any cost. The funding that we go through, they really require that we restrict the property for 60 years as affordable. And they also require with that you have that you're basically using materials that are going to last that long. So we're already, you know, coming in with good quality materials and things like that. And so we do large overhangs and things like that. And so a lot of it's already built into kind of what we do, and then we'll, you know, definitely tweak it to make it more look like a coastal community. Then.
Now, while you are still trying to access funding, would you, based on your knowledge of the past experience, is this kind of in the bag, or is there still some hoops to jump through as far as funding goes?
There's definitely hoops to jump through. We just submitted our funding application to the state for the project, but it will compete with all other projects throughout the state, and there's a kind of a pre-application process, and there was about 14 projects that it will be competing with, and there's only money to fund 2 to 3 projects, so it's definitely not in the bag. There are other funding sources. If we didn't get funded this round, there's other funding sources we can pursue in the fall. We need to change the unit count and things like that some for it, but so it's definitely definitely crossing our fingers right now.
So what's the timeline as far as that goes right now?
Yes, and so we'll find out midsummer if we get funded or not, June, July timeframe. And then if we are funded, we would break ground in the spring, and we'd go through the design review and get building permits ready, break ground in the spring, and then about a year later would be constructed. So in the late spring, early summer of 2025, we'd be in the completed range if we get funded this round. So
what will the facility look like? You mentioned, you know, playgrounds and open spaces and that. Would we have like big lobbies or stuff? How's that gonna?
Yes, and so it'll be currently it's going to be 3 buildings and include a community room and area, property manager area. It'll include a kind of a courtyard in the center of it with a playground, and then we're also going to meet all parking requirements, which is based on the number of bedrooms. The city of Florence has a parking ratio, and we didn't want to under park that, because just kind of where it's located, there's not places to park other than on the site, and didn't want to overflow. So
I believe it's a 1-for-1, isn't it? Or one vehicle per bedroom?
It's a one, maybe misstating this a little bit, but I believe it's one per one bedroom, and then 1.5 for a two bedroom, and then 2 for a three bedroom.
Okay,
along those lines.
So you still have some good space there left. And do they allow spaces on the street as part of that, or no?
So a part of what we're going to have to do is do right of way improvements along in there, and so there will likely be parking along the street, and the sidewalk will have to move a little bit, and so there will be some additional street parking in that area then as well. So.
Now, Jacob, I'm assuming that funding one way or the other, you guys are committed to doing this, even if you have to wait a little while to get other funding?
Yeah, absolutely. We're passionate about being in service to Florence and other small towns across Lane County. And the biggest challenge that Steve mentioned is just getting land. So once you have land, which we own this parcel, then you apply for funding. As Steve mentioned, it is competitive, but we're tenacious and we don't give up. So we're 100% committed to delivering units here in Florence.
Are there some developers that don't own their property that are looking for funding too, or is everybody that's kind of in this funding barrel have their property sealed up already?
Do you know the answer to that, Steve?
I would think they'd have to have some kind of site controls. They'd have to have at least a contract that.
I just wondering if maybe to. It's like, for example, I have a piece of property in Old Town that I own free and clear, so that allows me to establish some funding for building on that, which. Wonder if they in their minds go, well, they own the property, so this would be a better look for. So I was just kind of curious if that came into play at all during the funding process.
It does. Only it makes it super easy for us. We can just submit a deed saying we own it. Otherwise, they'd have to show that they have site control through the funding cycle into when they were proposing that they're going to start building. So, which can be tricky at times. So it definitely just puts us in a much better situation as far as that goes. If there's no doubt, even if we didn't get funded, somebody else that may have some other kind of agreement, they may not be able to hold it in the future. But in our case, we'll definitely be able to develop it. So
now I don't know if you have any properties under development right now, but I know that in the past couple of years with COVID and everything and supply chain issues and things like that, do you have a contingency plan for how to keep that supply running while you're building your properties?
We do. And luckily we have great contractors we work with. We actually had several projects that got built right through the pandemic. And not to say they weren't challenges. I would say my hat's off to the construction industry that they were, out there while everybody else was locked up. They were out there building apartment communities for us. And really, I think, kind of kept things going. So there's definitely with, timber prices were crazy for a while. And there's just, supplying, like you mentioned, supply chain issues.
Well, and the worker issues, another one is having the workers, because some of them went by the wayside.
Right,
where
right.
Things kind of die down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And so Homes for Good has also been working. We've been working with our contractors to, they really need workers. So we've been looking at like apprenticeship programs, things like that, that can kind of at a larger scale to kind of help backfill that need because it's definitely out there. And
I'd add that, we provide a home to over 5,000 people across Lane County, many of whom are wanting to grow in terms of their employment and wage. So the other thing that we're sort of deepening our commitment to is making sure that the people we serve are notified about job opportunities within our organization and also with our contractors on construction projects. Because, the more that we can help people, graduate out of poverty and out of affordable housing, that's also part of our mission.
Is there a set price plan yet for the cost of each apartment to let, or is that something that's going to have to come out as soon as you find out what it's going to cost?
We have an early budget for, I guess, the construction costs. What we do have kind of that we can't alter is the And something I forgot to mention is that these units will come with what's called a project-based voucher. And so whoever folks must income qualify to get in. But then once they're in, they'll basically pay only a third of whatever they make towards the unit, and the rest will be covered. And so that's not – it's something we started about 3 years ago doing, which is really, really helpful to the community. And also what that allows us to do is then leverage a – larger construction loan for that project in order to make it happen. So, and right now we're, you know, estimates are very conservative just given the supply chain and things like that. So, it will be interesting to see if we get funded. We, you know, next spring is when we would go out to bid to see where the actual cost lands at that point.
So depending on how things are doing in the spring, then you'll be better.
And we're hoping with, you know, interest rates are high right now as well. It all plays into making it in more expensive project. We're hoping things kind of calm down by then. But we're kind of, the funding we ask for is kind of worst case scenario. So
are individuals, families locked in to their rate for a certain period of time? Say, for example, say a $25,000 a year person has a place, but their situation improves over a 2-year span to where they're making $40,000 or $50,000. Are they still eligible to stay, or do they have to? Do they still continue to pay that 1/3, or how does that change?
Yeah. So I'll use a couple specific examples. So one, let's say you're a senior and you get $1,000 a month in Social Security, then you know you would pay roughly $350 a month, right? The example that you used, where someone moves in and their wage increases over time, every year we reassess people's share of the rent based on their income. So if that income is going up, then we'll adjust their rent up. So they'll pay more and we'll pay less.
And you're not constricted by the rules of what are they? The rules of like landlords raising prices over a certain percentage?
We are not constricted by that. But at some point, if someone starts to earn $40,000 or $50,000, then
get a house somewhere.
Yeah, we would
open that up for somebody.
Correct. Right. That's the vision.
Oh. Yeah, and it could be that they end up paying 100% of the unit cost, which would still be a little bit better than market. But they would be at that point, they wouldn't seem that much of a benefit from.
But they'll never pay over that, or will they?
No, they never pay over
So even if they're doing good, and they'd say. They say, well, we really don't want to move. We're kind of established here. You know, we'd like to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, yeah. Sounds like a pretty good plan.
It is. And I guess something I'd mentioned, too, is we did have that open house and just heard overwhelming community support for affordable housing. The only, we have definitely heard there's, and it's everywhere in the state, but there is that middle housing still missing. So folks that can't income qualify for the affordable housing. There's not that, it's either that or market,
there's not that medium income house there. Those $200,000 houses no longer exist around here.
It's tough for some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anything else we need to know about the project? Any caveats that come along with this that you're aware of, or any concerns that you see other than the funding, I guess?
No, I would just say we're so excited. Not only that it's in Florence, but it's the location's just optimal, and I think will be just a beautiful community for the city of Florence and for the folks that can benefit by living there. And so we're just very excited. So
well, and 80 plus units will really help a lot. I mean, we talked about where we are as far as how many we need, but with everything else that's going on around here, that really puts a hold on making things more available for people. So that's much appreciated.
Yeah.
Jacob Fox and Steve Oakes for the Homes for Good. Thank you both for being here today. I appreciate it. And good luck on the financing.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Coming up next on the April edition of Our Town, members of the Rhododendron Court.